KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Fresno, where a high-profile criminal case involving drugs, a stash of cash, wiretaps, and Fresno's former number two cop has come to an end, at least for now. Yesterday, a federal judge sentenced one-time Deputy Police Chief Keith Foster to 4 years in prison. Here's KQED's Vanessa Roncagno.
Earlier this year, a federal court jury found Keith Foster guilty of conspiring to distribute heroin and marijuana. Yesterday, standing before the judge, Foster maintained his innocence and asked for leniency. "This is not a true reflection of who I am as a person," he said. He reminded the judge he'd spent 30 years in law enforcement. But the judge sided with the government, finding there was reason to believe Foster had lied under oath and obstructed justice, and that he'd abused a position of trust. The judge sentenced him to 4 years federal prison and 3 years probation. Outside of court, Foster's lawyer, Mike McNeely, said they're very disappointed.
"Keith is innocent, and we're going to continue to fight at every level. We're going to exhaust every opportunity we have to appeal this."
He'll have 14 days to appeal. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Roncagno in Fresno.
A new lawsuit against electric car maker Tesla alleges a culture of routine racial harassment towards black workers at the company's Fremont production facility. Former factory employee Marcus Vaughn and other black workers claim that racial slurs were routinely used at the plant with no repercussions. Brian Schwartz is Vaughn's lawyer.
"The company has tolerated and even fostered an environment where employees can frequently use the N-word toward black workers on the factory floor."
Tesla did not provide comment on this latest lawsuit. We're going to go down to Sacramento, where State Senator Tony Mendoza faces multiple formal sexual harassment allegations. KQED's Katie Orr reports on the fallout of these and the other sexually based allegations that keep coming out of the state capitol.
The details are yet to be worked out, but in a statement, the Senate Rules Committee, headed up by Senate Leader Kevin DeLeon, said from now on, an independent legal team will investigate sexual harassment allegations. Currently, such claims are handled internally. The allegations against Mendoza, who DeLeon until recently shared a house with in Sacramento, are putting the Senate leader in a tight spot as he challenges Dianne Feinstein for the U.S. Senate.
"I think it's a change that was made under political stress, but that doesn't mean that it's not a positive change."
Jessica Levinson is a professor at Loyola Law School.
"It's important to separate and professionalize these types of investigations. And whenever you have a body policing themselves, I think it can raise certain problems and potential conflicts of interest."
Levinson says the change, along with a supportive environment, could lead to more people actually reporting sexual harassment. Assemblywoman Christina Garcia chairs the Legislative Women's Caucus. The group is working on a detailed response to the allegations made against Mendoza and several others. But Garcia has already decided what she's going to do.
"I'm not going to add my name to any of their bills. If they're up for re-election, I'm not going to go campaign for them. Usually as Democrats, we go campaign for our colleagues. We send checks. I'm not going to extend myself that way."
Garcia acknowledges her actions could cost her votes on the assembly floor and possibly stall some of her legislation. But she says she's prepared to follow through with her choice. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's completely change gears now and go to the Channel Islands. New plant discoveries on San Nicolas are giving botanists and biologists a chance to see what the coast of California look like before Homo sapiens moved to the state. KCLU's Deborah Green reports.
Matt Williams is a botanist at the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden who studies and catalogs the region's plant biodiversity. He's opening a door to a cabinet inside the herbarium. It's a library for preserved plant specimens.
"This is a specimen of seaside cistanthi that we collected this year."
Williams says he was on uninhabited San Nicolas Island looking around when he spotted a long-stem plant with bright purple flowers.
"As a person with basically a deep love of California plants, I've always got my eyes open, and as we were walking around on the landscape, you know, you can't help but notice something that's new."
Seaside cistanthi was previously known to be growing on the other Channel Islands, in the Los Angeles Basin and northwestern Baja California, but it had never been seen on San Nicolas Island until this past spring.
"When we discover something new, a new occurrence or a new species to science, for me, what that signifies is that we're taking a step forward in our knowledge of biodiversity, and we can be that much better stewards to biodiversity.
Seaside cestanthi is one of three native vascular or flowering plants discovered over the last 2 years on the island. Mosses or non-vascular plants are another thing altogether. Only 10 types had been cataloged on San Nicolas. Ben Carter, a botanist at San Jose State University, was excited when he discovered 24 more. Carter opens up an envelope that contains a sample of wispy brownish-green moss.
These ones are all still very much alive, so if we put water on these, they'd perk right back up, and we could just put them on the tabletop, and they'd come right back to life.
He says mosses are vital for the ecosystem of the island because they form a soil crust that prevents erosion. One of them, Tortella humilis, had never been seen in California before. Since San Nicolas is virtually untouched, unlike the mainland, these discoveries paint an important picture.
What we see on the islands is probably very representative of what the coastal California ecosystems look like prior to human disturbance. And so that's really important because it helps us understand the impact that we actually have on the environment.
Samples of these flowering plants and mosses are critical for conservation planning. They'll undergo DNA analysis and will be stored at the herbarium in Santa Barbara. Their data will be available online so that it can be used by scientists all around the world. For the California Report, I'm Deborah Green.
Support for the California Report comes from CCRM San Francisco. CCRM physicians, using today's technology, help fulfill the dream of having a child. Learn more about family building options at ccrmivf.com/San Francisco. Personal Capital, the website that shows all financial accounts in one place and helps plan for retirement. PersonalCapital.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, November 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.